We all know that, unfortunately, Manasachandra's, Devidasi's father passed away this morning. Her mother and father were separated for quite some time, but he came down with cancer some time ago. And I believe that kind of brought the family closer together. So he's been in the hospital for some time, and he was supposed to be discharged today, but for whatever reason, he left his body today. So she's in shock. So I don't know if any of you ever lost a very close loved one. I lost my father when I was 17. I wasn't a devotee, so it was especially hard. My mother passed away a few years ago. And so although we prepare ourselves for this in Krishna consciousness, actually, even in the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna discusses the departure of the soul. And our transcendentalist is not actually disturbed by such a matter because of his depth of knowledge. In discussing the transmigration of the soul into the next body, Krishna says, Dhiras tata namuyanti. Dhira means one who's sober, one who's equipoised. It's an introductory verse, a classic verse, but Dehinosmin yata dehe omanam yovanam jara tatate antaras bhaktir Dhiras tata namuyanti. Krishna's revealing to the conditioned soul who can't perceive these things with our gross senses what actually takes place. So the soul is actually freed from the body. And if the soul has any amount of unfulfilled desires, material attachments, then the law of nature is to give another opportunity to try to fulfill those desires in the body. So death is a mystery, of course, to conditioned souls. Therefore, very fearful of death. We're afraid of what we don't know. But a transcendentalist doesn't experience the same fear, the same shock as an ordinary conditioned soul, because he knows that death is simply death of the body, not of the soul, and the soul continues on. So there's some kind of solace there. But still, human nature is such that there's grief. Even as devotees, we lose our mother, we lose our father. They may not have been devotees, but parents gave us this body with which we could, on our own choice, pursue the path of devotional service. So we're grateful for that. And although we are prepared, we're not at this stage pure devotees, so it's always a shock when it happens. Although I remember Prabhupada was quite... There was an incident where the devotees were driving with Prabhupada in a car from Kolkata to Mayapur. This is in the early days. And as they were proceeding out to Mayapur, you know what that road is like. It's very dangerous. If you've ever been on that road, even today, it hasn't changed a bit. 35 years. It's incredibly dangerous. A small road with all kinds of people walking everywhere, and buses, and buffalo carts, and horses, and cows, and dogs. So it so happened that one person on a bicycle was hit by a bus. And the bus went over the person to the point where he was unrecognizable. The bicycle and the person were flat on the road, like you could say like a pancake, for want of better words. Prabhupada was sleeping at the time. And Brahmananda, who was sitting in the front seat, because Prabhupada always sat in the back seat, that's the safer the safest place to sit in a car is in the back seat behind the driver. Why? Because if there's danger, the instinct is to save yourself first. It's just human instinct. Of course, if you have time, you'll save your children, your beloved ones. But your natural reaction, if there's immediate danger, you avoid. The driver tries to avoid the accident. Immediately like that. So if he can do it, then he's saving himself first. If you're right behind him, that's the safest place, relatively. So Prabhupada was sitting behind the driver, and he was napping. He'd nodded off. But Brahmananda took the most dangerous seat, which is the seat next to the driver. Opposite effect is there. You turn away, and then that person goes into the accident. So that's the worst place to sit. I usually sit there just because I have more leg room I can see, but I always know it's like the most dangerous place. So then Brahmananda saw this, and he said to whoever else was in back, that car went very slow past the accident. So they didn't wake Prabhupada up because that wasn't proper etiquette. So sometime later, Prabhupada woke up, and Brahmananda informed Prabhupada what happened. And Brahmananda was still very shaken. You can imagine. Sometimes we see these things, and we're shaken. But your life can be so cruel. It is so cruel. So then he told Prabhupada, we saw this accident. The body was there, and it was flat, and everything was squeezed out of the body. It was just horrible. And Rabbi said, "You are disturbed because you're in the bodily concept. The jayate, priyate, for the soul, there's neither birth nor death. Having once been, does he ever cease to be? He's unborn, undying, primeval. He is not slain. The body is slain." So this is the position of the transcendentalist who's actually realized that we are not the bodies, that we are spirit soul. But he admonished, or he took the opportunity in that particular situation to challenge the level of his disciples' realization in Krishna consciousness. He said, "You are thinking like that because you are thinking that you are the body. But still, the verse also in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna challenges Arjuna, that you are lamenting for what is not worthy of grief. Because Arjuna, potentially, he saw that his family members were going to be killed. So he was lamenting. He was lamenting for the body, because he saw them as relatives, extensions of his family, bodily concept of life, the greater bodily concept of life. My body, my family, my friends, my countrymen, like that. He says, "You are lamenting for what is not worthy of grief, which is the body. Body is killed, but the soul is eternal." So he challenged Arjuna like that. But in the purport, Prabhupada also glorifies Arjuna. It's an interesting purport. Prabhupada takes it from a little bit of a different angle. He said, devotee is naturally soft-hearted. So when he sees these things in the world, the so-called happiness and distress, the joy and the misery, the great moments in life, the tragic moments in life, he actually sees them with two eyes, a good eye and a bad eye. This is a devotee. He's seeing with a good eye and a bad eye. He's very equal poised in this world. In one hand, he's not disturbed, because he knows this body is just a bag of bones and blood and flesh and mucus, and it's an illusion to identify with it. We're actually the spirit soul. So why lament? Even Krishna says to Arjuna, they'll be refreshed. They'll get another body. They'll give up the old and useless body, which is causing so many difficulties, and they'll get a new body, a fresh start. Hopefully they'll use it for Krishna consciousness. Devotees like that. So, you're lamenting for what is not worthy of grief, but at the same time, Prabhupada glorifies such, and he's soft-hearted. He's lamenting because a devotee feels for the suffering of the people in this world. The fact that they think that the body, they identify with the body, and they're suffering, and they're going to go on to more suffering. So, dearest Tata Nimayante, we don't. Krishna conscious person not disturbed by such a change, but at the same time there's the human nature that this Krishna's lost soul, this lost sheep in the flock has gone off and away from the flock, away from the spiritual world and suffering. So devotee always has that. So it's while we're equipoised and we're not disturbed by death, at the same time there's the human nature. Devotee is soft-hearted. He relates to the sufferings of others. So therefore, our condolences are there for Manasachandra at this difficult moment. That her father has passed away. We can all feel her suffering. And I asked Nandini, should I speak to her? She advised not, because there's really just we just cry when these things happen. You just pour out your grief, and not time for philosophy. It's just a time to have like a friend around you, put their arm around you, console you. And so Manasa will be leaving. She's going to go to the funeral, see her mother in the funeral, and everything like that. Just see these things happen. And she maybe we'll be back by Brasilia, maybe Brasilia, the capital, next week. If not, we understand. We give her her time. Of course, we're all ready to give her our love, and our affection for this time. So we can always see things from different angles in Krishna consciousness and apply them according to time, place, and circumstance. Everything's not cut and dry, as we say. Everything's not black and white. It's like a crystal. The crystal stone, you shine a light to the crystal stone, and many colors come out at different angles. You get yellow, blue, green, purple, red, the light to the crystal. So devotee always can see Krishna consciousness from different angles, all Krishna conscious, but different ways. So at this time of her mourning, we're there for her, we're helping her pray. She'll be leaving this morning, and our prayers are with her. And her father. Never met her father, met her mother, very nice lady. I don't know how interested her father was or wasn't in Krishna consciousness, but in either case, by dint of the devotee's devotional service, there's agyat sukriti for the immediate relatives. Because immediate relatives place a significant role in a devotee's life in the sense that they support that devotee. Even if they're inimical, which I'm sure he wasn't, but even if they're inimical, they still supported that person through their childhood and their youth, whatever, to be able, on their own initiative, to take up Krishna consciousness. So it's kind of like maybe very indirect, but any devotional service done in Krishna, even indirect, even unconscious service, that's called agyat sukriti. We know about that, we've discussed it many times, that there's benefit from that. That's the whole principle of sankirtan. We don't go out and engage people in Krishna consciousness because there's an engagement. They're hearing the philosophy, they're hearing Krishna's name, they're getting the opportunity to appreciate, to is also a form of emotional service. You're getting informed to buy a book, to come to a program. We're giving them the opportunity to perform devotional service, not on their own choice, but on our choice. We're intervening into their lives. And they're doing a sort of devotional service. It's called Agyata Supriti, unknowing devotional service. They're not, I mean, we're doing knowing devotional service, sort of. I don't know how Krishna conscious we actually are. But we're somewhat Krishna conscious, so we're aware of the fact that we're doing it for the pleasure of Guru and Gauranga. So there's a much better effect there. But they're just doing it in complete ignorance of the effect is there. Like when you breathe in a germ and you come close to a sick person. You breathe in the germ. You don't know that you breathe in the germ and that it's multiplying and your body's becoming ill. You don't know how it all happened, but it happened. So in the same way, when we come in contact with devotional service, primarily through the medium of devotees in the holy name, it's a very powerful effect. So, as an example, because example is sometimes considered higher than precept, this is one reason that Prahlad Maharaj asked Lord Nrisimhadev, what about his father, to demonstrate this principle that family members imperceptibly get huge, huge benefit. His father was dead on the ground, and Prahlad inquired about his father. It's very interesting. Prahlad could have inquired about any of the, you know, seemingly unlimited living entities in this material creation, because a devotee is equal towards all living entities. He's not just a favor one over the other. He's as attached to any living entity on the street as he is to his own family members, ultimately. He sees the family of God, not so much the family he took birth in due to karma, but he acts by dint of knowledge. He is attached in a Krishna conscious way to every living entity as much as he is attached to his family members. Because he sees the true equality of all living entities. This is a very deep way. Still, it's interesting that Prahlad, who's a Mahatma, who's a Mahajan, one of the 12 Mahajans, one of the authorities in devotional service, it's interesting that a Mahajan who has that vision of equality, vidya vinaya sampane vamani gavi hastani sunichaiva sapakicha pandita samdarshana, who sees the true equality of all living entities, doesn't see the body, the nationality, but sees him simply as spirit soul, a part of Krishna's family. Still, he thought to inquire about his dad, who was a completely materialistic person. Not only a materialistic person, even Prahlad refers to him as the best of the daityas when they're having their little conversation before Nrisimhadev appeared. Oh, best of the asuras, he calls his father. And Hiranyakashipu is like, very, yes, thank you. It's actually, you could say, a criticism. It was just an observation from Prahlad's point of view. One man's food is another man's poison. What we might think of as a, you know, the most worst criticism to be the best of the demons, Hiranyakashipu took it as something very advantageous. Prahlad was inquiring about the welfare of that person who was his. What about my father? About my father. So Nrisimhadev said, because you're a devotee, because you took birth in this family of daityas, because a devata took birth in a family of daityas, there's purification. Just by your presence in this family, even though they've done nothing to merit it, because of your presence in this family, not only this immediate family, but the extended family, which means the relatives and even the relatives who were dead. He said 10 generations before you took birth, and whoever appears, whatever daitya, whatever demon, by dint of his demonic sinful activities, takes birth in this family of daityas, 10 generations further in the future, they'll all achieve liberation. This is really hard to understand. What we take from that is the value of the devotees' association. It's like it said that, and these statements are they're not exaggeration, and neither are they meant to inspire someone to take to devotional service to get some benefit. They're just facts. It's stated in the Shastra that anyone who within 12 kilometers who dies where Shalagram Shila is being worshipped attains liberation. Not bhakti, but liberation. That's something, because that means the karmic reactions are destroyed and the material desires are destroyed. You get mukti, which is inferior to bhakti, but it's something. Quite amazing. Emerge. Anyone who dies within the radius of 10 kilometers where Shalagram Shila, Govardhan Shila, is being worshipped. It's just the inconceivable nature of spiritual life according to our Vedic culture. It's the meaning of causeless mercy. Mercy is usually given with a particular person in mind or a group in mind. But causeless mercy means there's no reason it should be given, but it's given anyway. It's given out of the magnitude, the magnanimous nature of a Vaishnava's heart. Where does bhakti come from? This is a discussion in Madhurya Kandamita. Prashita Vishnu Chakravarti. What is the origin of bhakti? Bhakti has no cause. But bhakti it arises in the heart by the mercy of a Vaishnava, the compassion. So because of the presence of a Vaishnava of the caliber of Prahlad Maharaj, a daitya, a demon of the caliber of Hiranyakashipu was delivered. Now in that particular case, he achieved Vaikuntha. Just like Putana. Putana achieved Goloka. She became, they call it wet nurse, which means if the mother is not able to give her milk to the baby because she's busy, the nurse, the gopi, another gopi service, obviously has children of her own because she's giving milk. She nurses that baby, it's called a wet nurse. So Putana, she got this benediction that she came to kill Krishna. But Krishna took it that she was doing some service by giving her milk. So he sucked that milk, he sucked out her life, and she got more than mukti, she got bhav, she got braja bhakti. This is stated in one particular verse in the Bhagavatam in the 10th canto. And this verse has been elaborated on by acharyas over and over and over again, the causeless mercy of the Lord. In fact, when Shukadeva Goswami finally appeared in the womb, from the womb of his mother and his father, Srila Vyasadeva. He was, what was it, how many years was he in the womb? 16 years. He was late. 16 years. You can imagine. Sanatani's had a baby. 9 months is a long time to carry the boy. What about 16 years? But he was a realized monist. Means that he didn't see, everything was all one to him. So being in the womb or out of the womb, it was all, didn't make any difference. Because wherever such a soul is, he's fully satisfied. course, he doesn't see himself as a soul. He sees himself as connected to everything. So this realized soul, Hare Krishna Mahasaya. We all are feeling your grief and your suffering now. You know, I know what it's like. I've lost my father, I lost my mother, others as well. We just, you know, our hearts go out to you. You're grieving now. We want to give you time to grieve. We don't want to speak too much philosophy. We just to let you know that we're also suffering, seeing your suffering, and our prayers go to your father. Actually, we're talking about your dad right now, how because you're a devotee, imperceptibly, he's getting a lot of benefit just by the fact that, you know, you became a devotee of Yatsukriti, so Krishna has his eye on him, if that's any amount of solace to you. And you just go and do whatever you have to do now, just grieve. There's a time for grieving. And we're there with you, and whenever you can come back, we're here with open arms to receive you back. You're very important to us. We need you. Desperately, we need your service here. You're part of our family, but whatever time it takes, we understand, and we'll be waiting for you. Please give my love and understanding to your mom. You know, I'm always inquiring about her. Never met your dad, but he's a fortunate soul because you're a devotee.
Thank you so much.
So, Hare Krishna. So Sukadev Goswami stayed for 16 years in the womb. Then he came and he left home immediately and he ran away into the forest. And as he was running through the forest, there were some young ladies who were bathing in the pond. And they were bathing, so they were exposed. But they didn't bother to cover themselves when he walked by, although he appeared as a young man, because they could understand he had no material desires. He was a fully liberated soul. But when his father, Sri Vyasadeva, because he was a Grihastha, passed by, they immediately covered themselves. Now, naturally, the father went into the forest to try to find him. But he didn't want anything to do with that household or life. He was liberated. But liberation is not enough. Higher than liberation is devotion, but we're acting in devotional service. Our spirit, we act in our spiritual desire. We give up our material desires, but we fulfill our spiritual desires to please Krishna. So to make a long story short, some brahmanas went into the forest and they were chanting various verses of the Bhagavatam. And they chanted this verse of the Bhagavatam where it describes how Putana, a witch, achieved moksha, liberation, to the point where she became a gopi in the spiritual world by Krishna's mercy. So that caused Sukadeva Goswami to come back to this world. He became a devotee. He was a realized modus, but he became a devotee, hearing about the causeless mercy of Krishna. So Krishna's causeless mercy comes in the form of his devotees. So Prahlad was a devotee, so another manifestation of that miraculous mercy of the devotee is that his father achieved. So we were relating it to certainly her service, her Guru Maharaj, Devamrita Maharaj, all together, imperceptibly, somehow or other, we don't know the plan of the Lord, but her father will benefit. So this is our mission as devotees in the world. We want to give people this opportunity for devotional service, because this is a horrible place. When these things happen, it helps us refocus. It's not our mom, it's not our dad, but it's going to happen at some point to all of us. your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your best friend. Gradually, life just comes down to, you know, you leave, and then people lament you're leaving. So it's a cruel world, cruel, cruel world. You know, we live in a little bit of a bubble sometimes. People live in a bubble, we even live in a bubble. So therefore, ahanyahani bhutani, what's the most amazing thing? Everyone's dying around me, but I'm thinking I'm going to stay here. And the manifestation of that is we're not serious about Krishna consciousness. So when these things happen, and we see them happen to somebody else, it just makes us focus. Really, what's really important to us in life? And how our days are numbered? And we should focus on those important things, which we know are Krishna consciousness and all that entails, love for Krishna, process of devotional service for the devotees of the holy name. We have to focus on that. We have to become serious about it. Because at any moment, any of us could leave. Any moment. You know, Steve Jobs, worth something like $4 billion. You know, he's 57. That's not young, it's not old. He was a bit of a transcendentalist himself. He was a Buddhist. But he had association with devotees. He was visiting the temple in his youth, walking 7 miles across town when he was a student to eat at the Hare Krishna temple, he said in his speech at a prestigious university in America, Stanford University. It's on all, you know, BBC, CNN, New York, or New York Times. They quote his speech. And he knew he had pancreatic cancer. He said, I didn't even know what the pancreas was. And one day I went to the hospital and they told me I had cancer of the pancreas. He started preparing. It's a very simple life, although he had so much money. And he said this in his address to the students. Do whatever you have to do, but realize that life is short. And try to achieve what's most important. What's most important is Krishna consciousness. So we grieve along with Manasachandra, and we also take advantage to become more serious and realize that, you know, the only real answer is Krishna consciousness, which alone will free you from this horrible world of birth and death and take us back home, back to Godhead. And we have that knowledge. Even all these other spiritual groups, these other spiritual institutions, even the major religions, they're lacking the knowledge. When you listen to a devotee's lecture, nothing compares. When we were at the World Parliament of Religions, with all due respect, and I was hearing all the leaders from the different spiritual groups around the movement, because everybody had their time to speak their seminar. No one had the depth of knowledge that you'll hear in a basic Bhagavad Gita class in a Hare Krishna temple. But to speak with somebody like Paridayananda Maharaj or Radhanath Swami or Gopi Puranadana, I was so happy the other day. I was going through my computer and I found I'd taken all of Gopi Puranadana's lectures since he gave them 2001. I forgot about it. I had them all in a file in my computer. 348 lectures. I put them on my iPod and gradually going through them. One of those lectures doesn't compare to a lifetime of what all these other people are saying. Our Vedic knowledge is so... Veda means knowledge. The depth of that knowledge and the Goswamis expanding on that knowledge with the depth of the realization. That's our real jewel. We have to find time to hear that knowledge. That's our special prerogative, our special good fortune that we have that knowledge. And we have to give that to people who don't have it, because that will free them from their suffering. So that's what our festival is all about. That's why we're here. Why we're undergoing the austerities. Of course, not as austere as it was last year, is it? But it's austere another way. We don't have a temple room. Like the boys, they wanted to stay in a temple. They're Vaishnavas. They don't like hotels. They like to be in the temple where there's deities and there's kirtans. They're Manipur Vaishnavas. That's their culture. But we're doing this austerity of staying here and not having the hot rice, you know. We just right off the... Because we're here for the people. We can't just enjoy ourselves, Krishna consciousness, or the world goes to hell. That's a Kanishka Adhikari. Madhyama Adhikari goes out in the order of Guru and Krishna to share the good fortune with us. Uttama Adhikari goes out with the realization that he's feeling the suffering of the other people, not just as a duty, because he likes Harinam. Going out because he feels the suffering. His suffering is the suffering of the people. His happiness is their happiness, engaging in Krishna consciousness. So whether Kanishta, Madhyam, Uttama, we're doing the right thing. And that's why we have to focus on tonight. We have our first program. And we can't go into that program spaced out, you know, neither here nor there, the weather, I don't know what. We have to really focus to make it a potent program. Because any entertainment is only good or enjoyable if the performers are really into it. You can be doing, you know, the Les Misérables. It's a famous play. I saw it, we were going through London. The other day I was driving through London. It's still there after 15, 20 years. Les Misérables. It's about the French Revolution. And it's a play, famous play. The same actors sometimes grow up doing these. Only when they're too old they replace. But the point is, it's good because the actors are into it. It's their life and soul. That's their whatever they do. So we have to be into our performances tonight. We have to be together to focus now. The rest of the day to focus. We're on stage tonight. We've got a captive audience. We've got 1, 2, 3 television programs. The one we did in Sao Paulo, which went national. We've got another TV program doing a promo for us. We've got another TV program coming at 1:30 to film us live to show the people. Plus 2 newspapers, plus Harinam. All the tickets have already been sold. People are coming to see the magic of India. And we have to be ready. But we're not focused because we haven't done it. You know, when you do your first program, it locks in. Okay, magic India. Then program 2, program 3. We're not there yet. We're all over the place. We have to, like, focus program, both from the point of being professional in our presentation tonight and being devotional in our desire to give Krishna consciousness to people. We don't say that directly, but we've got, you know, we've got 500 spirit souls. Okay, what do you guys have to show? We can't let them down. We can't let them miss the opportunity of Krishna consciousness because, you know, we're just not focused. And we don't have a heart of compassion. We can't do that. It would be a crime. It would be a sin. That we're sloppy, that we're not into it. We may not have it fully together because the first program always has bugs. First program means problem. Mistakes. But okay, a few. But not because we arrive late, we're tired, we're hungry, we're in the bodily concept of life. We're just not into it. Oh, we can't do that. We have a service to our guru. We are the servants of our guru. Nothing more, nothing less. We don't even have a private life in Krishna consciousness. We appear as grihasthas and brahmacharyas and vanaprasthas and sannyasis. Sudras, Vaishyas, Kadras. But we're actually just servants of our Guru and Guranga. We're here because of their strong desire to spread Krishna consciousness. We don't have an independent life. We're the sold-out servants of our spiritual master. Of course, everything we do is service to them. But you're like the chosen few. You're like the elite. You're like the commandos that were chosen to come here from all the others to do this mission, taking out the souls captured by the enemy of Maya. So today I want you to think about this. We're here for a reason. And it's hard because we're traveling and hotel and this. But we have to really get into it now. We have to be very professional tonight. We cannot practice enough. We can't practice. You have to practice till you're blue in the face, we say in English. So you do it in your sleep. When you go on tonight, you have to be like that moment, you're ready, and then boom, the gun goes off, and you're running around the track, you're swimming in the pool, you're on the pitch, you're on the soccer field, you're there waiting. Not that, boom, oh, okay. Not like that. You're there already. You're already on the stage. You're already in the theater. In your mind, the audience is already there. You're just ready. That, you know, when it comes time for your performance, you're out there on the stage and you're fully there. You're here. You're now. You're ready to perform. You give it all your heart and soul. Every move, every action, every word. You're already there. And the sweetness is that the bhakti is there. You're doing it in the mood of devotion. It's like the cake. The cake's nice. What makes it nice is the sugar. Cake without sugar. So a performance without devotion is like a cake without sugar. So you have to have the expertise, the professionalism, the focus to make it a really good show. The timing, the focus, the movement, everything has to be there. You have to prepare. And then just subtly in your heart, in the background, you're doing it with a desire to free those people from the suffering that they're going to experience when their mom passes away, when their dad dies, when their sister dies, when they have a car accident, when they get cancer, when the flood takes away all their possessions, when the war comes, and starvation comes. You're going to give them ammunition to be able to deal with it because they'll have some spiritual life. This is serious business what we're doing. This is not, you know, kindergarten, play school. This is the real essence of life. I don't know how we've been given this service. What is our qualification? Just somehow Prabhupada swept us up, all of us. But we're doing some serious work. We don't have the right to be independent, to be selfish, to be concerned. To take care of our affairs, but that's the minimal thing. We're here as servants of this great sampradaya. And we're the only ones the world has to hear about it. So let's pray for some purity. Maybe we'll probably. So let's do it tonight. You know, it's unfortunate this happened at this time, but everything happens for a reason. So let's just take advantage of this, of Manas's suffering and grieving. We're grieving with her, but to be more serious about Krishna consciousness ourselves and more serious about our service to the public. We are intimately connected with the public. We don't run away from the public. We run into the public with open arms and embrace people with this wonderful process. So I want all of you now, it's 9:30. We're on in, 11 and a half hours? Yeah, we're on in 11 and a half hours. Think about these things for 11 and a half hours. Move as one body. You know, what we're doing today is we're doing a program today. We're eating, we're chanting our rounds, we're putting our stuff away, we're taking a shower. Okay, what we're doing today is we are on spotlight. And Krishna is behind us. Three television programs, two newspapers, and a Harinam. You know, Nothing happens without the will of the, not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme. You're asking for service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. What? Give me service. You've got service now. But you have to come up to the mark. Krishna's giving you enough publicity to fill three halls. We're probably going to have to turn people away. I'm lamenting. Nandini's saying that's a sign of success. Okay. There are no bigger halls in the city. But whoever comes, let's give them what they're looking for. They want fun, they want excitement, they want adventure. Okay, we're giving Krishna consciousness in a sweet pill. Sometimes Krishna consciousness comes in a bitter pill. Sometimes you learn your lessons the hard way. But in the beginning, who would come if it was all bitter? So we're giving a tort, a chocolate tort, a cultural experience. Make it nice for them. Make it attractive. Smile, be happy. Twist and turn in a very artistic way. Make it a joyful experience. Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness is joyful. I'll give them the bitter pill in my lecture. A little bit of salt also makes the preparation nice. Isn't it? Sometimes you put salt even in the sweet preparation. So I'll do that in a way that they can still swallow. But your job is to make it a wonderful experience. They walk away, wow. We say, a wow experience. Okay, we'll take that from modern English. Let's make it a wow experience today. And put in the devotion, and I'll give the gyan, the knowledge, it'll make it complete. The newspaper reporter appreciated that yesterday. I said, it's like Cirque du Soleil with transcendence. The Cirque du Soleil, everybody knows, is so professional. We can't come up to that, but we're trying. We have a professional show. But with the knowledge, it's something. People walk, you know what it is, people walk away. There was something different about that show. But only if you're focused, only if you start honing in on what we have a program today, Prabhus. We have a program. We have a program. Is that clear? We are moving. This is a movement. We're moving to the stage. That's where we're at. We are moving to the stage. We are on the stage today. We're not in the hotel rooms. We're on the street. Advertising's finished. I want you to be on the stage now. Right now, you're on the stage. Mentally. So that when your body connects with your mind on the stage, you know, Sankhya is always practicing. That's why they're good. They're always practicing. Always. Either physically or mentally. I don't feel that our group is up to that level of professionalism. You practice when you have time. You don't make time to practice. You've got your act down, so you think you're good at it. So why is Sankhya still practicing? Because as soon as something stops moving forward, it stops sliding backwards. That's the principle of material life. If something's not evolving, it's deteriorating. The body's growing, growing. As soon as you die, the body starts deteriorating. It's like pushing a rock, a round boulder up a hill. If you're not, it's so heavy. If you're not pushing it, it's going back. So if you're not practicing, your act, your performance, your offering to this festival, if you're not practicing it in your body or in your mind, then it's becoming less professional. Your yoga, your dance, your theater, my speech, how many times have I gave that talk? It's the same basic talk I've given 64,000 times. But I'm always thinking about it. Always refining. I'm always coming up with a little bit different angle, a little bit different point. You can listen during the years. It's basic. It has to be basic. It can't be anything else because it's an introductory audience. I'm always thinking about it. Even when I'm chanting with the idea of becoming pure so that when I give that basic talk, it'll inject it into their hearts. The poison of Krishna consciousness. Something will happen. They're thinking it's poison. They're thinking it's sweet. So you're on a professional road show. We have the life of like the Rolling Stones. Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones. It's not, of course, we don't have the drugs and the sex, and you know, we have the Holy Name and the Sodom, but we're on, this is a road show. We're on the road. This is a, I envision this like Prabhupada's, you know, international Sankirtan party. He wanted like that. Worldwide Sankirtan party. Mukunda Maharaj even blessed it. He said, yes, this is the, at least now, and I'm sure in the history of this gone in the future, there'll be something better. But for now. We are a professional. We're living in hotels. We're eating box lunches. Aren't we? Prepared by devotees. We're traveling in buses, airplanes. This is, it's adventurous. It's nice, but it has its hardships. It's hard to be focused. But you have to. Not for the money, like Mick Jagger. For the opportunity to give Krishna consciousness in these far off, distant places. Where is this place? Look on the map. It's a middle. It's a godforsaken place in the middle of nowhere in the countryside of Brazil. Where are we? Yesterday on the Sangha, I looked around. Oh my God, where are we? But it was so much fun. So relishing because the people were so interested. First time. They were studying it, invitation. And loving it. So I want a really good show tonight. I don't want people to be disappointed because of our lack of professionalism. Professionals are always practicing. They're always meditating on the show. You have to be more prepared. Practice more. Think about it more. Be here now. Be there at the show. There. Don't be somewhere else. And then be there because you did the show. I want a really focused, professional show tonight, with the mood of a compassionate heart of a Vaishnava. Okay? Everybody. We'll make some mistakes, this is the first show, but the bare minimum. And we're going to practice, and we've done it how many times? We know what to do. And Satvata, not Satvata, Satvata. That's Sanskrit, that's not Portuguese. Satvata. Say it. Sat. He's going to translate. You may think, well, he's just, how can he translate? He's just the person who organizes the food and runs around like a maniac, you know, getting the paperwork done. Actually, you don't know. He's a very senior devotee. Sat, but that. He was temple president in Rio de Janeiro for quite some time. He's done Sangatan in this country. He's been a devotee for 15 years. He's one of the translators of the books. He was involved in temple management in temples in Europe, in Germany, other places like that. We're not dealing with this. We say, Chela, a little, you know, hey, go get my water. He's acting like that. Because he's a humble Vaishnava, that's a sign of his advancement in Krishna consciousness. But don't think he's your servant. He's setting a nice example. He's a senior devotee. 15 years. He's not going to tell you, hey, look, senior devotee, I was temple president. It's not easy to be a temple president in Brazil. Because this South America is a very political place. It's like India. He's a senior devotee. He's been a temple president. He's a senior disciple of Sri Dayananda Maharaj. He's managed temples. He's translating books. He's done years of Sankirtan, lots of books. Don't think of him as just, oh, somebody we found didn't have anything to do in the temple. We're lucky we got him. When we got here, I said, Satvata's here. How'd we get him? I said to Nandini, how'd we get him? Senior devotee. So he's serving you like the Vaishnava should serve in a humble mood, but he's not a new devotee. I saw some of you looking at him. You know, who is this? Don't say, why is it shot him late? Don't ever do anything like that. You try to serve, he's trying to serve you, you try to serve him. Make life easier for him by doing things properly and so forth and so on. Okay, is that clear? Now, do you know who Satvata is? Raise your hand. You all understand. Sometimes it's hard to recognize a devotee because a devotee who's made some advancement, they're always like, they don't, that's the sign, they don't want recognition, they just want to serve. Servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. So don't be surprised if sometimes a senior devotee is washing pots. So he will translate. What's the schedule that we will take prasadam, I think?
Yes, there's prasadam, and then we're going to go to the hall.
We're going to go to the hall?
Around 11.
11, right? The main hall or the yoga studio?
No, the hall.
The hall. And we're going to do a practice there.
Yeah, the whole program.
Okay. Is anyone sick? No? You're a little sick? Can you perform today? I'm also sick, by the way. I also have a flu. But you probably wouldn't know it, right? Yeah, I got sick. But the show has to go on. Unless we're like on our deathbed, the show has to go on. Even then, Prabhupada was preaching. It's amazing. That's how strong our spirit has to be. We have to really want to help these people. And they're not difficult to help, these people, these Brazilians. That's why I like it here. You walk in the street, you don't feel like anyone looking. You like in Europe sometimes? Here it's like... All right, I'll let you go. I've gone a little bit over time. We had to deal with this unfortunate incident today. Again, we feel for Manasachandra Devi Dasi, and we wish the very best for her father, obviously, to get some benefit. She's such a nice devotee. Let's use this opportunity to expand our feelings for the people, affect our Krishna consciousness, and let's have a really good show. Okay? Focus, be on that stage now, so that when the lights come on, it's a professional show. It's a Broadway show. Giriraj Govardhan Lal Ki
Jai,
Chira Prabhupada Ki Jai, Magic of India Festival Tour 2011
Jai,
Hare Krishna.